Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you as we have this pioneering heart to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Thanks, worship team. Good morning, everyone. Everyone on YouTube, on Facebook. Really good to be with you this morning. We're doing it back home, so you feel at home as you sit in your lounge or your bedroom. And I'm sure you're warm. You got your fireplace going there, and you're drinking your cup of coffee. But no sleeping now. We've got to listen to the Word of God, please. Let's pray as we approach God's Word. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to hear the Word of God again. Lord, for many years there was a time there was darkness upon the earth and the Word was not preached. But Lord, we have opportunity to preach the Word today. And Holy Spirit, we ask that as the Word goes out, that it'll be a light to our path, that it'll bring in illumination to our minds, and that, Lord, there'll be a renewal, that you bring revelation of Jesus Christ today. So thank you, Lord, for blessing us today as we approach the Word now. In Jesus' name. Amen, everyone. Will you get your notebooks out? Would you get your Bibles out as we approach the Word of God? We're continuing in the series, The Letter to the Church in Philippi. The title of the message today is The Joy in Spite of Death and the Flesh. So the flesh means not the physical outworking of the sinful nature, but of the world. Do you know, as we've approached the book of Philippians, the letter to the church at Philippi, Paul was bringing out this whole epitome of joy was reached through our circumstances, whether they're good or bad. Paul was telling us is that even though we go through trouble, we have distractors that will try and take away the joy of preaching the word. And in spite of death, God is still glorified in this. So Paul was amazing that he never lost his joy. And I think there's a maturity that came to him as he grew in Christ. And as the Holy Spirit revealed Christ to him, he found his joy. And I want to just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 27, some of the things that Paul went through. And I hope none of us have to go through all these things, but there was something that God ordained in his life to allow him to go through, but he never, ever lost his joy. And I read from verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. That was when they whipped them with that that whip, and incredible, just tore blood and tore skin off. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, and a night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Here was Paul. Can you imagine all that he went through? But here he never lost his joy. And may we find, as we reading through the scriptures here, may we have the reality of the joy. Paul made a decision to rejoice. In 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10, it says, as sorrowful, yet I always rejoicing. Now that's a choice. And may we remember everything as we're going through this book. The church at Philippi learned to rejoice in Christ. May you always learn to rejoice in the Lord. So let's go to our text for today. If you're turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 to 26. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 to 26. I know it seems mumbo jumbo when we read through it, but I'm going to expound it for you, and I'm trusting that we're going to learn lots about what the Lord is actually saying through scriptures here today. Verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, it means a fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have an ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. So here Paul comes and explains what was working in his life and his desire to be with the Christians in Philippi. So what we're going to be looking at, we're looking at 2 points today. We're going to be looking at joy in spite of death and joy in spite of the flesh, as I said, as we stay in the world. In the joy in spite of death, I'm going to be looking at living and dying and confidence in the face of death without fear, all the circumstances that we need to be trusting God in. And then in the spite of the joy in spite of flesh, we're going to be looking that God keeps us alive until his work is done in and through us. And then the aim of life, to serve God, to bless other people, to rejoice, be a rejoicing people, and to bring glory to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first point, the joy in spite of death, and that's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all shamed, but with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So the first point under that is living and dying. Now here Paul was faced with prison. He was bound to, as we heard last week, he was bound to the imperial guard. Every 6 hours he was chained. He was there living for 2 years in a prison. And there was an expectation whether he could be set free or he could be executed. So this was in Paul's heart as he was writing this letter to the church in Philippi. And verse 21, it says there, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want to say that to you. That is a key comment that Paul wrote there. It needs to be the epitome also of our lives. We need to be living for Christ. And I want to just say, life for Paul was simply for living for Christ. He was emphatic. It was simply for Christ, always Christ. He wasn't concerned and working out money and pleasure and other goals and family and marriage. He was living to be in a place that it was simply about Christ. And what did he have in his heart? What does it mean to live in Christ? He was thinking about Christ all the time. He was loving Christ. He was singing to him and about him. His heart was where Jesus was, and he was living to serve Jesus. And I want to just say to you, for Paul, Jesus was enough. And I want to just say to you today, is Jesus enough for you? Or are you looking for other things? Paul wasn't in a place where he was so concerned about the world and the things of the world. Even though he lived in the world, his life was for Christ. And what mattered to Paul, as we've read earlier, was the advancement of the gospel and the preaching of Christ. If that was taking place, he was content. He was content in that process. So I want to just say to you today, where are you in your relationship with God? Is your life living for Christ? You see, life can be summed up in Christ. Are you filled with Christ? Are you occupied with Christ? Are you trusting Christ? Are you loving Christ? Is your hope in Christ? Are you obeying Christ? Are you preaching Christ? Are you following Christ? Are you in fellowship with Christ? Is Christ the center of your life? Is Christ your all in all? Now, you might think, well, Mark, what are you saying to us today? I wanted to tell you, when Jesus brings you out of the world and he takes you out of darkness and brings you into light, he brings you into relationship with Christ. And through Christ, you have a relationship with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And I want to say to you, if you do not have that, you've got to work towards that. I was just reading my daily reading today. It was in Israel, and the Lord said to him, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And maybe you today, you are born again, and you are filled with the Spirit of God, but you don't have a living relationship with the living Christ. I want to say to you, make Christ your everything in what you're doing. Don't let your possessions get in the way. You know, I was just thinking the other day, if you were stranded, and we know we've got those TV series that says, if I'm stranded on an island, what would you take with you? Now, I want to just say to you, that could be many things. It might be your pillow. It might be your coffee. I don't know what it is, what you would take to that island, but your possessions. But I want to just say to you, we are so blessed. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. If we land up in a desert island, the most incredible possession that we have, the gift of God, which is Christ in us, we need to ensure that we follow that in our lives. So if I had to personalize that for you, as Paul said, for me to live is Christ, what would you say? For me is? Is it your wealth, your power, possessions, your family? I want to just say, if you have Christ, you have everything. And if you put something with it, and other than Christ, you're going to be robbed of what God has got for you. So very important for Paul saying, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Important, important statement. May that resound in your heart, in your life today. Then secondly, on that point, Paul said there about this dying. And I want to just say death is a reality for us. I had the opportunity this week to do the memorial service for Val Rath, who's been part of us for a number of years. It was a time of rejoicing, but then we did the burial. We did the gravesite on Friday. And you know what was happening there? I've never seen West Park Cemetery with so many burials taking place. They restricted you going in, that you had to be booked into the cemetery because there were so many funerals taking place. And I asked the question, how many people are ready for death? Because it's a reality for every single one of us. And I believe we need to purpose to live in Christ, but we must also know the reality of dying. And you know, there's a reality in death. And I've said before, have you ever been to your own funeral? Because there's got to be a death to come to know Christ. And that's a death to self, the old man. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And I want to encourage you today is that there needs to be that death in your life. Otherwise, self is going to be preeminent in your life, not Christ. And then it comes to the body, where the body needs to die. And that belongs to God's timing. And He purposes us in us. And we need faith to die. But you know what? Every one of us must even our hearts to know we've got to have the assurance that we're going to go and be with the Lord forever. And I will talk a bit later. But Philippians chapter 1, 23, verse 23 says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ. And that is such a promise to us, that when you die, that you immediately to go be with Christ. We don't go into a place of holding. We go immediately to be with Christ. The scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. So what is the purpose of life? It's to die that we may gain Christ. And as Paul found, that Christ was his all in all, our existence in life is not to exist for ourselves, but that Christ's life might live through us. So the second point then, Paul's talking about his confidence in the face of death without fear. He said, this will turn out for my deliverance. And we know that he was going through trouble, and there were distractors, and there was difficulties that he was going through being in prison. But he said he stood on God's word and the promise of God's word. And we know that scripture from Romans 8, verse 28. Paul wrote this to the church in Rome. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And here we see God's always working for the good, even though we go through very difficult times. Can I tell you what's happened in South Africa, what's happened with this COVID, and what's happened with this whole insurrection, and what's happened in this nation? It has been terrible what's happened. People have lost livelihoods. Businesses have been destroyed. People do not have hope. But let me tell you, God, because we called upon his name, is going to work this for good in our nation. Can I tell you what I believe? It's going to be an instigator of revival in this nation. So Paul says here, it'll turn out for my deliverance. Now the Greek word behind that can also mean salvation. It can mean escape. And Paul was just saying this, what God was allowing in his life would take place. And I want to just say the things that are taking place in your life today, whatever you're going through, God is going to work it for good if you just allow him to work it out. Now, an important fact that Paul realized in this thing, whatever you're going through and whatever the difficulties that you're going through is temporary. God allows things to take place in our lives. He orchestrates and allows these things to take place, but they are temporary. But we must realize it's a season. And if we push through with him and we climb the mountain or we go into the valleys with him, he will allow it to work its purpose in your life, but it's only a temporary thing. You will move from the next to the next position in him. So I want to just say is that God works these things. Why? Again, to bring joy to our hearts. It says in James chapter 1, count it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. And God wants to bring joy. In Psalm 30 verse 5, at the end of this, it says, but joy comes in the morning. And I want to encourage you, if you're going through difficulties like Paul was, he rejoiced in the Lord. Allow the joy to flood your heart, to flood your life, and that you can actually see him going forward. We see in the life of Job, even his punishment, he trusted God and he allowed God to turn his life and these things into his deliverance. In Job chapter 13, verse 16, indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance, my salvation. And here God delivered Job and he will deliver you. And I want you to remember the great principle, as we see in Scripture, God's word says that the Lord delivers the righteous, he protects the righteous, and he saves the righteous. And we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God protects us. God delivers us, and God saves us. Jesus cannot but do that. He's the Savior, and our Father loves us, and he will deliver us and protect us and save us through this. But connected to this deliverance, it says that through your prayers. I want to just say this is an incredible principle that Paul brings out in this process. The link is between our deliverance, our salvation, coming through the Word, which is Jesus, through prayer and receiving the provision of the Spirit. So the prayer, Paul believed in prayer. He believed in the sovereignty of God, but he believed in the effective work of the saints praying for one another. And Paul calls the church often to come to pray. Pray for me, pray for the church, pray for the saints. You can see the majority of his ministry is a prayer ministry. If you go and read his letters to the churches, much of his letter is a prayer for the church. And I want to just say is, I want to encourage you. God is hearing our prayers, and I want to encourage you. Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying, even in the difficult times. Thank you for praying when the good times. Keep praying. It's an aspect I really believe God wants to just birth in our hearts again. If you're not a prayer, I want you to ask you to pray. It's part of your conversation with God. It's part of your work that God has got you to do. Are you praying for your family? Are you praying for your work colleagues? Are you praying for the church? Are you praying for the leaders? Are you praying for the nation? It's part of our work. We cannot just get into our comfort zone. We've got to do the work of prayer. And it's a key aspect of going forward as we work out our deliverance in Christ. The next point is the provision of the Spirit of Christ, Philippians 1 verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And here we see is that the sustenance that God has for us, the provision that he has comes through Christ. Your provision is Christ. There's no other place that you'll get your provision. It comes out of Christ. As you trust him, as you allow him to be Lord and allow him to be Savior, that's where you will find your provision. John chapter 16, verse 15, it says, all that belongs to my Father is mine. And that is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you what's yours in Christ. And do you know that you're an heir of Christ, a co-heir with him? And I want to encourage you, there's an inheritance, there's a provision that you have in Christ. Call upon the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus when you're going through tough, when you're seeing, and God will provide. The Scripture teaches us as we call upon him, he will call things that are not as if they are. God is your provider as you trust him and allow him to work all things out in your life. And this is the understanding that we belong to Christ, that we are in Christ. The Spirit of Christ lives in us. And we see that in Romans 8 verses 9 to 10. And this promise that comes as Christ lives in us. The promise that he says to you, what will he give you? Christ will never fail you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He'll never let you go. He will strengthen you. He will empower you to serve him and to bring the outworking of his life in and through you. It says in Psalms, the righteous will never be put to shame. This is when you're finding Christ. The Israelites trusted in the Lord, and when they trusted him, they saw how mightily he came and worked a part in them. Who do we have today? We have Christ. And if you're going through tough times and you feel like you're alone, the Lord says in his word, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Christ is with you by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 45 verse 17, it says, you'll never be put to shame or disgraced. This is the God that loves you. And this is the God that will never put you to shame. It also says that in Romans 9, verse 33. So Paul, in understanding all that was happening with him, realized that God had a plan for him. We saw in the beginning of the message here today, he went through all the shipwrecks, the beatings, and all those things, and he realized he submitted to the plan of God for his life. And I want to just say in this time, and hear my heart what I'm actually saying, the trouble that has come to South Africa, don't think it's going to get better to go to another nation to work it out. I want to tell you there's difficulties in the other nations, and they're experiencing very similar things to us. Even in the United States of America, they had an insurrection last year. Can you believe that in a country that stands for democracy, that happened in their nation, and what has happened yet? I want to just say to you, it's not better to go somewhere else. But if the Lord tells you to go, no problem. But if you're going to run and try and get away from it, you're going to take your troubles with you and you're not getting away. Rather be where God wants you to be, the exact place and the exact time going forward. So resign to the plan of God in your life. So the joy in the spite of death, as you said, knowing the joy of Christ living in you. The second point is the joy in spite of the flesh. Now that word flesh means us staying in the world. And I read that from Philippians chapter 1, verse 22 to 26. If I am to live in the flesh, that's to live in the world, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and your joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. So here we see Paul was in a quandary. He didn't know whether to do. Should he depart because it could have been the execution, or should he stay there for the Christians because he was preaching Christ? And Paul gets to this place and he realizes that he knows it's better to remain in the flesh, to remain in the world. Why? Because there was a purpose. But again, I just want to get to this whole process of departing. In verse 23, it says, for my desire is to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. And I want to just encourage you where we are. When we depart from this earth, when we die, what actually happens? We are spirit, soul, and body. Our spirits and our soul leave our physical body and go to be with the Lord immediately. That scripture says, when we depart, we're with Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you've doubted where you're going when you die, I want to tell you the scripture tells us we will be with Christ immediately. Because there's no space in the spirit. It's that the faith that you have. When you close your eyes and your body shuts down, your heart stops beating, your spirit and your soul leave your body and you go to be with Christ. So I know there's a lot of stuff out there telling you that you go into a soul sleep and you go into a place of waiting. The scripture doesn't tell us that. There's no place of purgatory. There's no aspect in scripture where it tells us there's a purgatory. You depart and you're with Christ. The important thing, you must be in Christ to be with Christ forever. And I encourage you for that. We see in Acts chapter 17, when they were stoning Stephen, he said to the Lord, receive my spirit. And immediately his spirit and his body fell asleep. And what does that mean? His body died. And the body goes down to the earth, goes to dust until the day that God raises it again and brings immortality to mortality. And that's the hope we have, that there'll be even a resurrection of the body. So in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 6, it says, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. So when we're here in the body, we're not present with the Lord, but we will be with the Lord forever. Then 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 10, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. That's another promise that God has for us. So the first point under that, God's people are kept alive until their work is done. I just, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, God works for his work to be done through us until it's all ordained. And I want to encourage you is that God's got a plan for your life. He wants to fulfill his plan for you. Are you willing to submit to that and allow him to fulfill that? And I want to just say, if you give yourself to the Lord, his plans will be fulfilled right to the end. Don't be going doing your own will, even though you might seem like you think you're not doing it, but just say, Lord, I want to do your will. And a lot of his will is outdoing the mundane, but living in love and living in Christ. And I want to encourage you to do that. And Paul was here in this quandary. He said, should I go home to be with the Lord Jesus? But he realized that his love for the church in Philippi was important. And I want to encourage you is that God's got work for us still to do, to love his people, to love the Lord, and don't go home too early, because I believe there's a promise in Scripture in Psalm 91, with long life he will bless you. So don't be speaking and saying, I need to go home. Let God be the ordaining of that. I trust for long life in my personal life. I trust for long life in my family's life. I trust for long life for you, that no one will go home prematurely to be with the Lord, because we've got work to do here on earth. But what can stop that for God's work complete? When you rebel against the Lord, and rebellion causes for God's plan to stop in our lives. So I really want to encourage you, do not rebel against the Lord, but rather be in a place where his will be fulfilled in your life. Secondly, the aim of life is to serve God with fruitful labor. Jesus tells us that as we obey him, we must bear much fruit. And there's a labor as we follow Christ. We need to be in a place of serving him and serving his people. And that's why God puts us in the church. He doesn't put us in isolation serving ourselves, because in the church you learn to labor for him, and out of the church we begin to preach his word and we come into a place of serving him and serving others. The next point, thirdly, the aim of life is to be a blessing to other people. And God wants us to be a blessing to others. And that's such an important thing, is when we find ourselves, we are not just placed on this earth to exist, but we have been there to go and bless others. And I want to tell you, your influence is great. In your workplace, in your family, God wants you to be a blessing. You're not a curse. Jesus became the curse that you become a blessing, and you're a blessing to those around. And I want to encourage you, you have the light of God within you, you have Christ within you. Go and be a blessing to those around you. The Philippian church needed Paul because he was maturing Christ. He had much more experience of living in Christ, and he had an apostolic revelation. So there was something of in Paul's life that was a blessing to the church. And Paul wanted to do that. He also wanted to be a blessing to them. He wanted to see them grow in Christ. He wanted to see them to grow in unity and humility in the progression of life. So very important. God wants us to be a blessing to other people. And then fourthly, the aim of life is to be a rejoicing people. And Philippians 1 verse 25 says, I'm convinced of this and know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Importance is that the Christian life is also to be rejoicing. And I just find that it's something that Paul's birthed in us in this letter here, and I encourage you, we need to go out rejoicing, and we need to learn to rejoice. Even when the difficult times come and we get tired in that, we've got to get to a place of finding the joy of the Lord. I want to just say, many pastors, and sometimes even myself, I've been guilty of it, that we preach guilt and we preach condemnation. It's not right. We've got to be preaching joy. We've got to be preaching who we are in Christ, that people will find their fulfillment. Joy is not happiness, but joy is actually being content and knowing who Christ is in people's lives. And then fifthly, the aim of our life is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Paul realized in verse 26, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. There was this mutual love, this church in Philippi, the believers in love Paul, and he loved him, and this mutual love was a delight, and this brought glory to God, because in the church there was a mutual respect for one another, there was a mutual honoring of one another, a mutual love for one another, but out of that there was something that brought glory to God. And this is a thing when the church begins to operate in loving one another and working out that love, not only for God, but for one another, this brings glory to God. So I want to encourage you today, as we've heard this portion of Scripture, there's a joy in spite of death, and there's a joy in spite of staying in the will. So I want to just say to you, is Christ that word that was Paul wrote there, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Is that your purpose in life? Are you simply allowing Christ to be your all in all? Are you realizing your circumstances that you are going through, they are temporary, they are seasonal, but joy comes in the morning. And I want to say to you, joy comes in the morning, and God has a plan for you. He has a plan for every one of your lives, whether you're young or you're old. God has a plan for you. Will you resign to that plan that God has for you in Christ? And that God's not going to let you go until His work is done in you. He wants you to be fruitful in your labor. He wants you to be a blessing to others. He wants you to be a rejoicing people. And He wants you to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So may, as you've heard the word of God about the joy of the Lord today, may something of the presence of God, something of the reality of living in Christ be your fullness today. I'd like to pray for you as we're going to be doing another song after this. But I would like to pray for you as we just open up our hearts to what the Lord has got for us. So stretch out your hands to receive from the Lord. I want to just pray a blessing upon you. Father, we just thank you for grace. And thank you, Lord, as we've just seen through the life of Paul, there's been a rich deposit of Christ in his life. And Lord, may we see that in our own lives. May you bring us to an understanding of who Christ is in our lives. May we have nothing more than Christ. You're our fullness. You're our all in all, Lord. Even though we live life here and there are things that we are dealing with, but may we live in that realm of knowing you are our fullness. May we just get into a place of a revelation of you, but not only a revelation, but also may we come to an outworking of knowing Christ. So Lord, will you take your glory even here this morning? Bless your people that they will continue to preach your gospel, Lord, to advance the kingdom. And may every one of your people come to an understanding of the fullness of Christ now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ivan, over to you. Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Amen. Thank you, Mark, for sharing God's word with us, that we can hold on to that and that we could run with the richness of God's word in everything that He's calling us to in this season. So as Mark ministered the word this morning, and Holy Spirit has been ministering to you, and He's touched your heart this morning, and you would like to give your life, that you'd like to give your heart to Jesus. The word says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I would like to pray for you this morning, if that is you. And as I pray this prayer, that you'd repeat it after me. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life this morning. I want to trust and to follow you as my Lord and my Savior, Lord Jesus. So as I've given my heart to you this morning, that you'd come into my life, and that you'd come into my heart, and that you would lead me, and that I would know you in an intimate and a special way this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. And as Mark was ministering the word, I just feel the Lord just laid this on my heart. I'd just like to pray this over. I believe it is for somebody, and it's a spirit of depression and a spirit of discouragement. And if you're battling with that this morning, I just want to pray for that. Father, I just pray. Lord, I don't know who it is, but there is somebody out there that is battling with the depression and discouragement. And Satan has come and has put that blanket of heaviness and depression over you this morning. And I pray right now that the wind of the Spirit, precious Holy Spirit, would blow over your life. And as you would blow over your life and as you would breathe over you, that it would blow away that blanket of depression and heaviness and discouragement over your life this morning. I declare life. I declare joy over you this morning in Jesus' name. Rise up and be strong in Jesus in this time as He removes that blanket of heaviness over your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to